Isn't it delightful how the Christmas music ticks and we touch so many parts of the Christmas story and the Christmas experience and back through the years when we've got to celebrate and touch and be touched by Christmas. So everybody knows a Christmas story. So I thought I'd give you a different story today. And it's because it's my understanding of what we're doing right now, that we are in a time of intentionally creating a greater consciousness within the earth, a greater consciousness for humankind. Do you feel that? Anybody feel that? Is that what we're about? Is that what's taking place?
Yes.
So we're doing what the Christmas story is about. Now, the Christmas story focused on that greater consciousness coming through the awakening of that being that was called Jesus. And the greater consciousness is he brought where we began to change from the teachings of an eye for an eye to love your enemy. From the blame out there to looking within ourselves and to that love one another. A beautiful growth in consciousness for humankind. And so when I look there, I realize there's so much that when we understand that story, we begin to understand how we create greater consciousness. But I have a suspicion that the Bible's a little limited in what it gives. Okay, it kind of looks like somebody out there goes zap. And that's not my experience of how greater consciousness takes place. But I had a wonderful opportunity some years ago. It was the time in my life when I was studying some of the material in the Edgar Cayce readings. Now, many of you may know who Edgar Cayce was, probably the most famous and certainly the most studied and researched psychic in our country. And in some 14,000 readings that he gave and that were looked into, what they found was that there was not only a remarkable degree of accuracy as they were able to research those, but there were people who came to him and talked about difficulties within their lives. And he would respond and begin to explain some of the dynamics that were a part of that experience in terms of their having lived an earlier life experience and working with some of that in this one. And in those readings, again and again, he tapped into the Christmas story. And there were a number of people who responded as being a part of that. And so if we look at that story as it came through his understanding, and I want to share with you, I have no idea what really happened back there. It was 2,000 years ago. Okay, and we've got lots of different stories. This is a beautiful place to reflect on. I do not share it with you as this is the way it is, but rather in our reflections upon this experience, it helps us to touch a greater truth and understanding within ourselves. And that is the only one that counts. Okay. So Edgar Cayce's story starts about 300 years before the birth of Jesus. He talks about an awareness that arose at that time that there would come a time of a change of age, a change of consciousness for humankind. And that there would be a being to lead that change of consciousness. And there was a commitment on the part of a group of people to create a vessel of consciousness, to create a state of consciousness that would invite in a soul capable of helping us make that change of awareness. Now, that group of people came to be called the Essenes. They were a Jewish sect that developed, as Casey gives them, about 300 years. And when you look at the Essene material, that's probably fairly accurate. And a number of the Jewish prophets were a part of that. But the interesting thing is that they intentionally set about the task of creating greater consciousness for humankind. Let me share with you a reflection of Casey on this. He says, the Essenes maintained a purity of teachings that they hoped would fulfill the promises that had been given from the beginnings of human history, that a Messiah would come for the salvation and resurrection of the human race. So this is their purpose. Now, not the only one. In the spiritual teachings and work that they did, they really developed a capacity to support themselves in spiritual attunement. They had very beautiful disciplines in terms of the physical and diet. They had mental and emotional focus and discipline, developing the mind and keeping it focused on that which was uplifting, and beautiful processes of spiritual attunement. It's my understanding that which we call an experience as the Lord's Prayer is an Essene prayer. So many beautiful things there. But as it came close to the time that we now understand as the time of the birth of Jesus, their seers, and they had seers and prophets as a part of their movement, their seers said that they were approaching a time when a being of greater consciousness would enter into the earth experience. And so they began to prepare some of their young women to have a consciousness that would be receptive to that and would hold those highest qualities of spiritual, mental, and emotional attunement for that motherhood. Now, and so, as with any movement, they had wonderful training for their young people. But there was a gathering of young girls. Casey says that it was probably 4 years old when Mary was brought to the Essenes. And so she began to undergo these trainings at 4 years old. And as she experienced the different disciplines, the next insight into her experience takes place when she's approaching 13. And she's a part of these young women who are there at what Casey identifies as the Essene Temple on Mount Carmel. And that in this experience, she is with a group of young girls, this group of girls who is going for morning prayer in the temple. This is his description. The sun shone upon the steps that led to the altar called the temple steps. When during the first period of the morning, the maidens were going to the altar for prayer as well as to burn incense. On this day, as they mounted the steps, all were bathed in the morning sun, which not only made a beautiful picture, but clothed them all in purple and gold. The elders and teachers watched the girls that morning. Matthias and Annos were there, as was Judy, the recorder and teacher, who would one day teach Jesus. Soon the girls appeared and began to climb the steps to the altar. Mary led the procession. Now, nearing her 13th birthday, she was becoming a lovely young woman with chestnut hair and blue eyes that danced with merriment. Behind her was her friend Josie, who had become like a sister to Mary, and next, Janeff, a year younger than Mary. Janeff's gray eyes were watching Mary's bright hair as though following a beacon that day. As Mary reached the top step, there was thunder and lightning. She stood still, her eyes looking on in radiant wonder and awe. A great halo of light formed around her, and within the light, the angel Gabriel appeared, taking the child by the hand before the altar. This was the manner of choice. This was the showing of the way, for Mary had led the others on this day. It would be 3 more years before Mary would conceive the Christ child, and longer still before she would join Joseph. But as that time approached, the famed wise men had already begun their journey. So an experience for Mary and for the elders and teachers, that they might understand that she would be this one. So we're about 3 years before the angel appearing to her that appears in the gospel. And consequently, there's the response to Mary of this greater teaching and focus. Because not only would she be Jesus' mother, she would be his first spiritual teacher. I found myself in great appreciation of what was shared there, of the men and women that were prepared to be in preparation for this soul, so that he could grow into the potential of his being. Jesus, who in Casey's term, became the Christ, or grew into the awareness of this oneness that we as spiritual beings have with the divine. Now, Casey goes on to explore a little bit more of the story. He tells about how when Mary and Joseph went to the inn and were turned away, that, you know, as naturally, if you're going to go to a town, you're going to go to some place and people you know. Well, the inn was run by a family of Essenes, and they were turned away because the innkeeper had a vision. And in that vision, actually the dream they call it, in that dream he understood that for their own protection they needed to not be present at the inn. And so it was seen by those present that they were sent away. That his daughter, 2 of his daughters, had been with the young girls that were a part of the group that was trained with Mary. And that one of the daughters went and found and prepared the stable where they could go and not be in the public and also not be known to the authorities, which tended to question the Essenes a little more diligently than other people. They were not a favored group in Judaism at that time. So we see a little different story. But what I like about it is what we're doing is seeing greater consciousness being created by people's choices, focus, and behavior rather than some strange intervention from beyond the clouds. And in my life, it has certainly seemed to me as though that is the way that consciousness is created. When I look and understand what we're doing, I begin to see our intention, our choices, and not only in this greater consciousness that's created, but within our families, within our experiences. I ran into a story of a man and his experience that helped me to get a sense of that, maybe some of those creations that we do. The man's name was Rick Horton, and Rick was 38 years old when he had a heart attack and made his transition. Now, that was a very difficult experience for his wife and 2 children, and for his parents. And his transition occurred, it was December 4th, so they're just about 3 weeks from Christmas. And so the family's about to celebrate Christmas, and it turns out that for Rick, this was a major experience. every year he was the one that got the tree up and the lights on and the music going and the presents. There may be somebody in your home that kind of has that role at Christmas. Okay, well, that was Rick's. He just loved this. And so the family wanted to honor him by going ahead with Christmas, but obviously very difficult for them at that point. So the parents said, well, we'll decorate our house, we'll do everything, and the wife and children were invited to come over and have dinner and open presents and share the Christmas there with his parents. So the parents are getting ready for Christmas. Now, what they found is that, of course, that sense of his being present and of his loss was very, very powerful to them. And they began talking about something that was on their hearts. And they wanted the experience of knowing that he was still alive. You know, a being going beyond this physical, that was real. They wanted a sense of connection with him and a sense of what that experience might be like. So they said to each other, well, let's have that this Christmas. Let's open to that being present. And so in part of what they did, they made a little altar. They put his picture on it there and a candle and some of the Christmas ornaments around as they decorated the house. And then Christmas morning and the wife and children come over and they're all together sharing dinner and cleaning up after dinner. And what the mother found was that she was getting very upset, that she was irritable and things were really bothering her. Now, if you've worked with people who've gone through that experience of grief, you understand that there are, you know, so many emotions that come up that are difficult, and that would be very normal. And finally, she just was kind of at the edge and said to her husband, just please turn off the radio. I just can't deal with the Christmas music. And her husband said, the radio's not on. And they began to realize that they were unaware of where the music was coming from. So everybody, the wife and children, everybody, they began searching the house, and they couldn't find it. So they went outside and looked around to see if maybe a neighbor was playing and had a window open or something, but there was no window. There was no music outside. They came back in, and they kind of focused down, and they found they were at the altar. And the music seemed to emanate around the picture and the ornaments that were there. And they realized that they were experiencing a connection with their son, with Rick acknowledging in some way that he could. As they described the music, it was, they said, Christmas-like, but sort of ethereal, but tremendously beautiful. And they had a sense of the beauty of his experience that it portrayed. And then suddenly the mother had one of those moments where she just said, we have to turn on the radio. So they went over and turned on the radio, and the music on there was I'll Be Home for Christmas. A greater consciousness. The consciousness before that experience was separation. The consciousness through the experience was connection, a greater consciousness. But it was created. It was created by acknowledging what they felt in their hearts, what they desired and wanted. It was been sharing that. It was created by going forward with creating a Christmas that honored the son and the family. It was created by forming a little altar that acknowledged the importance of that connection they needed, even if they couldn't feel it then. Our choices create greater consciousness. And that is why this Christmas is important. We are creating greater consciousness in our families, in our friendships and relationships, in this, our spiritual community. We are creating greater consciousness by the choices that we make. Now, it's my belief that every time we make that choice for that greater love, that greater sense of connection, that greater compassion with each other, that every time that happens, we contribute to that greater consciousness. We contribute to this love that transforms and lifts us into the experience of a heart-awakened humanity, a greater consciousness within the world of humankind. And that's why we're here for each other, to support us in those choices. And when somebody finds it hard to make, that there's somebody that knows that they really have all the love and wisdom to make that choice. We support each other in that way, just like we do within our families. And we don't do it alone. In this experience, what we're creating is in the hearts of everyone. I think it's caught most beautifully by the angels. On earth, peace and goodwill to all. Isn't that what your heart would love? On earth, peace and goodwill to all. Peace. That peace that comes when we are in harmony and understanding of each other. That goodwill that opens us to the blessings, the goodness that we want to touch when we give it the presents that say, we treasure you. Peace and goodwill to all. Join me.
Peace and goodwill to all.
Would you like that this Christmas?
Yes.
Again.
Peace and goodwill to all.
What a beautiful thing. On earth.
Peace and goodwill to all.
Again.
Peace and goodwill to all.
When I think of all the 1,000 unity churches around the world and how this Christmas everyone will be desiring that, holding that in their choices, holding that in their prayers, joining with Silent Unity who connects with millions of people through prayer, holding it with us on earth, peace and goodwill for all. And the truth is, think how many millions of people will share that thought as they celebrate Christmas with us. Millions of people all over the world. On earth,
peace and goodwill to all.
And the real work in our families.
Peace and goodwill to all.
And I'm sure most family has somebody that's going to make you work on that one. Okay, and that's true of families all around the world. That's part of the wonderful thing about Christmas, is we keep working on getting to
peace and goodwill for all.
And, you know, we're talking about the people that celebrate Christmas. But think of what's happening in the mosques. As in their beautiful forms of prayer, they acknowledge the 157 verses of peace in the Quran. Because they want
peace and goodwill for all.
And in the synagogues, think of them all around the world. And what they want is
peace and goodwill for all.
It is time not to bring forth a being, but to bring forth a humanity that lives and teaches
peace and goodwill for all.
Bless you.